Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation, and it is another year of the Dork Forest. What the heck, right? So you should know that the website, JackieCation.com or thedorkforest.com or dorkforest.com, if you don't enjoy a determiner, are all still available. You could hear the show on all of the different things. I've been trying to figure out how to get off Spotify. Try not to listen to Spotify because they throw in ads that are not approved by me, Jackie Cation. So, we'll see what I could do. Anyway, but so you could always watch the show on my YouTube channel. I think it's The Dork Forest or Jackie Cation. It's all linkable on JackieCation.com, the Dork Forest page. And I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show. Not quite as sleepable because it's just me and Laurie Kilmartin bitching about stand-up comedy and also celebrating it. Anyway, so here's the thing. You can donate again to the show. If you enjoy the show, I would love for you to donate about $100 a year because that keeps everything in rolling along. And you can do PayPal, which is my email, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me anything you like about the shows and stuff like that. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. That's my Venmo handle. And if you see me in real life at a comedy show, you could just hand me a sweaty wad of 20s or whatever you like. That'd be great. And I also do stand-up comedy. So you can see my tour dates on JackieCation.com. You can listen to very old episodes of The Dork Forest on my Bandcamp. And I also put my very first album that I ripped. It's on my Bandcamp page. It's called It's not Circus People. It's Cake Is Not My Downfall, which is a track on the Bread album, but it has other jokes that are not on the Bread album. The audio is what it is, but there's also some very early Dork Forests and a storytelling album called Storytime, all on Bandcamp, and everything's either free or a couple of bucks. So new album coming out in February called Altercation and new special. And that, I'm sure there's more to it, but let's get into the show. Hey, guess what? We're on Zoom. Very exciting for Patrick Brady to have to figure this out. Good for you. But my guest has been on the show before. I just remembered and just forgot what it was. Sal Kalani, everybody. Stand-up comic. New album coming out at the end of the month. New special, really, because he's got to figure out. It's a fucking project to do stand-up comedy now. You can't just do stand-up comedy and put it on CD Baby and then all of a sudden it shows up on iTunes. There's, I think you can do it on TuneCore. I don't know. It's called TuneCore. I don't know. Somebody fucking knows. And if you do, email me and I'll email Sal.
Jackie@jackiecation.com. Thank you.
You're welcome. But you can watch it because it was filmed. Is there a SalKalani.com?
There is a SalKalani.com. You know what? I forgot to tell you this. The day after it airs on YouTube, I'm doing a live screening in LA and it'll be a little Q&A. It's called the Activist Kitchen. It's in not far in my neighborhood here in East Hollywood, which I mentioned
roll
in the special.
Roll out of bed. Go to the, that's
we're gonna have a
Bamford's
little party.
Favorite thing. That's Bamford's
favorite
thing.
Yeah, Bamford's been there. That's right. Bamford's been there.
You just roll out of bed and just go to the closest Black Box Theater by your house because it's Los Angeles. And you're like, I'm doing a show here because I can get a cup of coffee on the
Come
way there.
To me.
Yes. And I hope it works out. Well, what's your Instagram? I forgot to ask what the Instagram.
At Sal Kalani, SalKalani. Same with TikTok, YouTube, Facebook.
All the things.
And all the noise. Website.
Right. And SalKalani.com probably tells you all about it. So don't forget.
Yeah. Please. It's all called Mental Spillness. Drops at the end of the month. My most vulnerable, personal special, but very funny and tight. Filmed it at the San Francisco Punchline So it was a good crowd.
Son of a. All right. Well, I'll ask around. I don't know. You send me the thing. Maybe I'll ask a guy.
Well, that's the thing too. I got cameos in this, Jackie, of like more famous people, and people still didn't care. I'm like, oh,
right.
Okay. I'm getting these guys' blessing, but not the powers that be.
Yeah, and the thing is what you really want is you want the damn thing just ripped to audio and sent to XM on a label because XM won't do it.
Right.
It won't do it unless you have a label.
And you don't make money unless you're really getting it on the labels. Pandora, Spotify, they're not paying us. You need people who pay the subscription. And
you know that last month, my album, as a middle-aged white lady, let me tell you that Pandora fucking loves me.
Wow.
23,000 spins.
Whoa. Now what is it equivalent to money? In a month.
$180.
Okay, but right, but it could be so much more if it was
right. If it were 23,000 spins on
Sirius,
it'd be $15 a pop.
Right. You'd be flying me out to your podcast,
right from East Hollywood.
Right,
and into Van Nuys. So, yeah. But here's the thing: you have chosen a band.
Yes.
That I've never heard of. Andy laughed and laughed when I said,
"I love it." Hey, Andy came Sal to Kalani. The rescue.
Yeah, Sal Kalani has some band, and I just did Grateful Dead. Is it like that? And he's like, "No, it's not anything like that."
It's a theatrical thing. Last time we did Jimi Hendrix.
That's right, we did Jimi Hendrix,
and it was really fun, and that's why I did music again. And then I was at Christmas and. This guy was sitting there, and he was like a quieter guy, but he said he's from Richmond, Virginia. And the first thing I said was, oh, Gwar's from there.
And then did you have a new friend?
Well, it was funny because he's from Richmond. So anyone from there would know of Gwar. And then, but we have a dinner over a guy who was French. He's from France. And so hearing this guy try to explain what Gwar was funny.
Well, pretend I'm French.
Yeah.
What is Gwar?
So, this guy would say they're very theatrical. Okay. But, and they've had a lot of a personal effect on me in my life. And that's why I brought them up too. They dress in costumes. They, behead creatures, people, effigies, as they call them, of people.
That's what they're called.
Blood comes out, semen,
What? Wait, does blood come out? Wait, somebody said blood comes out of their penises.
No,
is that true?
I said, it's usually semen, but it's kinds of stuff. It's
okay, because you should see a doctor. Or a doctor should have told you that's going to happen.
Now, am I allowed to share pictures on here? Now that I know how to use Zoom?
Sure. Let me make you into a co-host because it's old school, you guys.
And there's a couple of Gwar pictures that you just kind of have to see.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So, wait a minute. But before you start sharing pictures,
yes.
And granted, I want you to spend your time doing your thing, but I need to know. So they are a real band. They're not
Oh, yeah. They're a real band. It started in the late 80s. They're heavy metal, really. They've changed. They have different forms, but they've always worn costumes. They've always been a little much, right?
Andy
and
said
go
that
for
they,
the show.
Andy said it was like if it was a bunch of guys who saw Kiss and said, hold my beer. Let me show you how this is done.
Well, I was
Do they
looking
have
up,
giant costumes?
Oh, yeah. Like huge. And like big foamy. One guy's just got like big jaws. They call them ball sack, the jaws of death. Okay. And then the main singer is Odorous Urungus. I mean, the names are hilarious. Okay. There's Techno Destructo. There's Beefcake the Mighty. Flatus Maximus, may he rest in peace.
Did the guy pass or did the costume go the way?
No, the guy passed.
Okay.
So did the main singer, Dave Brocky, Sexecutioner, Gwar Woman, there was different Gwar women.
So
I didn't even know.
Well, there's women. There's women.
Oh, there's some women in the group too.
That's
my first boobs I ever saw as a teenager were Semenstra Hymens at a Gwar show.
Well, make that a point of contention, everybody. That is hilarious.
Yeah, that's the thing. The story of Guar alone is funny. I don't even have to try on this.
Well, and well played.
I got to say for you, I wanted to tell you this. You have an amazing idea for a podcast. It's the best. You just go, hey, figure it out what you want. And you just tell me. And like,
you tell me.
It's the best. And like you pick what you want to learn about. Like, nah, I don't want to learn about that. I want about this. It's a great idea.
Very much. We're 20 years in.
I could see why. It's amazing.
That's it. Right. Because it can just keep going and I don't get bored because I'm just like, you're excited about a band called Guar. Okay. So how's the music? Like, are they musicians or are they just a high school band? What are we looking at? High school?
No, they're good. I was learning more about this story. There's two forms. They're at college in Virginia. The one guys were making like props. The other guy was in a punk band called Death Piggy. Okay. And his name was Dave Brocky. He was the lead singer. So Dave Brocky would do Death Piggy and he'd have a little like kind of like props and stuff on the thing that the other guy was making. And they'd be part of it, a little plays, but not as much. So then what happened is like, hey, let's do a band together. The other guys were working on a movie called Scum Dogs of the Universe. So he goes, let's take
those.
Did
that ever get released?
As an album, it did. And it is their best album, Jackie. Okay.
Scum Dogs of the Universe. They're finest
album. That's the one. I think it was like a 92 or 93. Great album. So they took those costumes. They're like, let's wear those costumes as an opening band for Death Piggy. Okay. They're like, okay. All right. Yeah. They're like, what should we call it? They're like, I don't know. Guar, gar, 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 gar. And they put like 12 characters and it started with Guar, the JH, all the stuff. So what happened was more people were coming to see the opening band Guar instead of Death Piggy. And then they would leave before Death Piggy would come on. So they're like, let's just.
How did the fellow members of Death Piggy take this?
Well, they were the same. So it didn't matter.
Oh, that's really hilarious.
Exactly. And so then they just became Guar and they cut off the rest. And then it was just the four letters. And I'll tell you this, when I saw them, I saw them like four or five times. The opening band I saw in Cleveland was called X-Cops. X-Cops was Guar without the costumes. So they'd get both the money.
First of all, this is the greatest idea in bands ever. Exactly. Because one of the biggest problems with seeing live music is switching out the instruments and switching out the bands. And so you set up your instruments, you put on a different hat, or you take off a hat in this case, you play, and then all of a sudden you're like, Guar is going to be out in a second. And you leave.
Yes.
Put the hat on, you come back out, and you're like, guess what? We're still going.
Guar's here. Guar's here.
This is the greatest idea in the world.
Now, what's funny about like Guar, so they're from Richmond. So me, I'm from Cleveland. So when a band starts to blow up, the first towns they play are the ones around there. So we always knew about them early on, right? So much so, the first time I saw my first concert was Guar. It was October of 93.
Was your first ever concert?
First ever concert. Now, here's the funny thing. You know, you're a teenager. I'm in ninth grade. I got my concert money that I got from cutting grass. So then I go, and convince my parents to let me go downtown for the night. Right.
Right. Right.
So we go see Guar. It was amazing. I remember it was almost Halloween. It was October and they had this little trailer. And then next thing you know, they rip through the trailer and then the costumes and blood and guitar and everyone's going crazy in here, the mosh pit. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So then I remember a few days later, my friend goes, hey, this other band's coming to Akron. It's like almost an hour away. You want to go see this band Nirvana with me? And I'm like, I can't. I spent my concert money. I'll have to catch them next time. And there was no next time.
Was that like the last tour of Nirvana before that guy died?
It was the In Utero tour, October 93. So, then I remember my second time I saw them, I went with my brother. It was the first time I went with a concert with my older brother. I remember going crowd surfing for the first time. They threw me up. Nobody caught me initially, smashed my elbow on the concrete. And then they just threw me right back up and then carried around.
Right. They didn't mean to drop you, right?
No. I mean,
cause
yeah.
When you get attention. In the mosh pit, it was just like sometimes there's too much going on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. All right.
So then also Guar, he has the guy Odorous has a big fake penis. It's like a rubber thing, but he calls it, I looked it up too, because it has official name. It's the cuttlefish, the cuttlefish of Cthulhu.
Okay, sure. I know what Cthulhu is, and I know what a cuttlefish is.
It's all right. So you just combine them, and then you strap it on you, and you shoot it into the crowd. Now, I do have a picture of me standing with Odorous with the cuttlefish.
Oh, you've met Odorous.
Oh, so here's another thing, Jackie. I didn't know if you know this. So then...
We can guess I don't.
I made a film, a short film, with someone you know named Maria Bamford. And in it Ms. Maria also Bamford,
yes.
Is Guar.
Oh, Maria, is it a short film with you and Guar?
Yes, Angelo Biafra of the Dead Kennedys.
What? So do you know Guar? Like, you know them enough? Oh, no.
So what happened was I was in a sketch group in San Francisco, and my friend wrote a sketch about a death metal barbershop quartet.
Okay.
And just that description is hilarious, right?
Sure.
And so we did it at SF Sketchfest one year, and it crushed. It always crushed when we did it, and it crushed hard there. It was in a big theater. And then friends of ours were like, they had some money. They were starting getting into film. They're like, we should make this a short film. So okay. They spent like, you know, 15 grand to make this short film. Okay. And in it, I was like, okay, let's make it. I was like, I want it like, you know, musician cameos, you know. And I will say Maria was one of the first people. She came to San Francisco. I brought her the script. I was like, hey, we have this idea. She would like introduce the band in the beginning. It was like a hosting thing. And she played like an older woman at Elks Lodge. And I remember giving it to her, and she was nodding before I even finished my pitch, which was really like nice. And then,
you know what that is? That's the word I'm looking for. There's vindication there. There's just like, oh, okay, good. All right.
Right.
Before you're done with the pitch.
Yeah.
Yes. She's
in. And once I got her, I feel like I could ask any comic I want. And sure. Then the same with the musicians. The first one I sent it to was Jello Biafra, the Dead Kennedys. I sent it to his label because it's in the Bay Area. And he called me one day and he goes, hey, I got your script. I would love to do this.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it was amazing. And so then I met him somewhere and we shot it. So once I got him, I asked everybody. Like I asked AFI, I asked Green Day. Now, here's the thing, you know, I don't know if it actually got to them. I know a lot of times it's their people.
You go to the people and hopefully it gets passed on.
Right. Yeah. And for some reason, I was like, I want to get Guar in this. Okay. I was like, I want Guar. They're my first concert.
For the real reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know how. I just remember this because this was like 08 was when I got them. And then we did it filmed it by time, blah, blah, blah. So the movie though didn't come out till like 2011. You could see it now on Maria's YouTube page.
Okay.
Just Google Lucifer's Crew Cut, Maria Bamford. There it is. It's only 11 minutes long.
Perfect. Lucifer's Crew Cut.
It's
11 minutes?
It's only 11 minutes. We got it in a couple. We did it in a couple festivals. I remember my buddy and I went to Bumbershoot. It was fun. But anyway. So, yeah, so Guar, they came, and I was trying to get in touch, and somehow I got in touch with their management online, and then I called, and the guy goes, 10 minutes, $1,000. I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, I can't. I was like, I can talk to my producers, and then the producer's like, 500 is all we could give you. And I was like, they said 500, and he goes, all right, and he just hung up. And I was like, shit. And then 10 minutes later, I get a call, and it's this guy goes, hey, this is Eddie, the manager for Guar. What's this thing we're filming? And I was like,
what? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so there it is.
So was it air and hotel and $500, right?
No, well, it was they're in San Francisco already doing our show.
Okay.
Can I film you in costume before the show as this cameo in this thing?
Okay. Oh, fair enough. So they're already there.
Exactly. Okay. So I made it as easy as possible for them to say
yes.
And then they're like, okay, this is some drinking money. And we only got Odorous. We only got the lead singer. But we met him beforehand without costume. Met him with him costume. And the best thing about Gwar, they're all in on the joke. It's all just funny to them. You know, like, and they're like good guys. Like, when they were blowing up, they kind of blew up in the early 90s. Like, Scum Dogs came out as the shortcut version of it.
Yeah.
But Beavis and Butthead started playing on them. And that's where they really kind of start blowing up. They were on the Jerry Springer show. There was like this shock rock thing. And I remember watching and the opening, you know, Jerry Springer, the opening was like this neo-Nazi band and all blah, blah, blah. They're like next on the shock rock Gwar. And when Gwar came out, they're like, we want nothing to do with this idiot. Hey, there's nothing. I don't even know why he's on the same show with us. And then we're from another universe. We're interplanetary creatures. You know, it's like a whole, they go into their whole act too. Right. But so they're good guys. But anyway, it was awesome. We got to film it. And that, but it's funny, they had the mosh pit. And by that point, I'm like, I'm too old for that. I don't need that. I'm done. Right. I'm fine.
Right. It's 15 years later.
Right.
And so you're like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm no longer 14 years old.
Yeah.
So,
And then eventually, and then we dropped the film in 2011. And then in 2014, Dave Brocky, the singer of Gwar, passed away at the age of 50. It was a heroin overdose.
Ooh.
And now there's none of the... Gwar's still around, but it's none of the original members anymore.
So let's, two questions. One, early Gwar. That's right. Early Gwar.
Yeah.
Can you sing along? What do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, like, dude, Scum Dogs is good. Scum Dogs has a song called Sick of You. It's like, sick of you. I'm so sick, so sick of you. Like, very simple.
Right. Just a very simple message. And and it feels like perfect if you're 14. Right.
Yeah, the
or
verse
17.
Is, yeah. The verse is like, your face is gross, you eat white toast, you don't know what to do. And just your luck, you really suck, and so I'm sick of you. Another one on that album is called Maggots. And it's like, maggots are fallen like rain. It's just crazy. So
it's just crazy.
Fun. Yeah, it's just fun.
It
crazy.
Is fun.
It was and punk and metal, and then
okay. And so it's a lot of like they're making the guitar.
Yeah, but it's like, not. But they did do some slower songs. Beavis and Butthead. There's a song called "The Road Behind," which I really like, and it's actually just like being on the road, struggling. But he kind of jokes like, they didn't have my dinner plate right, so I killed the crew, you know. But, you know, that's what Gwar
was.
They're
Gwar.
Aliens. Yeah, they're aliens.
Right. It's like if Elf had a band.
Yeah, right, exactly. But bloodier.
A little bloodier. So do the costumes change?
With characters, they do. And there is differences. Like, I guess Dave Brocky, when they originally had the cuttlefish, he got arrested in North Carolina for having that, for being obscene or whatever.
Oh, right.
Isn't that crazy? And then, but eventually they let it slide. And he still has.
They were like, it's not so much as just dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just dumb screwing around. It's not really that filthy. It's just a weird giant penis. So they're throwing fake blood into the audience? Is that the deal?
Fake blood and everything. So the thing is, when you go to a Gwar show, you wear white because you're going to get covered. And I got a great picture of my buddy Matt and I just covered. I call shirts red, blue,
green.
That's
going to be the picture for the episode. That's it. There it is. So everybody wore white just because they
knew? A lot of people will wear white. It's just hard to get metalheads to wear white. You know,
it's true. Yeah,
you know, but you could do it. The one thing I'll say, Gwar too. I mean, it's metal, so Cleveland, like people, like you get a lot of skinheads who come out to that kind of shit, right? Especially in Cleveland, and people are always like, you know, now especially too, when you're saying stuff. Oh, I see this. This is like a right wing nationalist. And how do you even know skinhead? I know. I've been around them, and you see them at these shows, and then. I had a friend, he would go with me to the shows. He got me into Gwar. He was in hot keto. And when he was a black belt.
What's hot keto?
It's like,
is that a fight thing?
Yeah, it's like Aikido. It's like MMA, like almost a fighting, but it's a hot keto is a Korean form where you use their, energy against them. And then you could like put them in arm bars. So he would put these wristbands and arm bars on skinheads at these shows.
Right.
Just because you're in the mosh pit. Some people are throwing punches, and when they're throwing punches, you got to defend yourself.
And then he hop-ketoed them.
He hop-ketoed the shit out of him, Jackie.
So he, right. So he's fighting Nazis one at a time.
Yeah, at a guar.
At the guar concert. So, but guar itself is not, they don't encourage the skinheads. They don't want.
But when you're in the punk metal world, there's a lot of, that's why the Dead Kennedys had a song about, it was called like Nazi skinheads fuck off or something, because of that specific reason.
Who was the leader of the Dead Kennedys?
Jello Biafra.
Okay.
Also in the movie.
Also, that's right. Also, they were the one who was in the movie. Now, did Jello Biafra just say something weird? Because Jello Biafra is now like 70 years old. I feel like Jello Biafra would, no, wait a minute. Wrong band. Music is my life, Sal Kalani. Okay. I just got to let you know. Sex Pistols. Who was the head of the...
Johnny Rotten.
Johnny Rotten. I guess he just said some old man bullshit.
What did he say?
I don't know. He was just like, everyone... it's like... He might be a Captain Knobjob supporter. Like, he might be a bad guy now, which would be
funny,
a real
from a British guy.
Right. It was just like, you hated Thatcher, but this guy you like?
Right.
Anyway,
right.
So.
Like, I wonder that, like, if Hendrix was still alive, would he have had the same mystique? Or would he be like anti-vax Eric Clapton, right?
Jimi Hendrix? No, not Jimi Hendrix.
You would hope not, but what would happen? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You'd think that he'd be more like the Stones, you know, like
The
Beatles. Like they were all like, if Janis Joplin would have lived, maybe she'd be hanging out with that new folk. It's always a bad sign when folk music comes back, right? I mean, it's just like it means we're in some real trouble because there has to be a guy standing under like power lines with a guitar telling you that shit sucks. But he did a joke. He did the kid I'm thinking of, Jesse. God, I can't remember his last name, but he was doing he did a show with Joan Baez.
Okay,
but maybe Hendrix. And would have showed up on that. You don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe hanging with Jay-Z and shit.
Yeah. You might have been hanging with the good guys, right?
Yeah, Public Enemy.
I don't think he would have been. I don't think it would have gone. He's also left-handed. He's had a lot of suffering in his life. That
he's
Jimmy
from
Hendrix.
Seattle.
Right.
No,
he's got a lot of stuff going on there. Yeah. Janis Joplin had the biggest crush on him. I just was watching a Dick Cavett episode.
3 weeks after he died, she died. And they said she took a dangerous amount of heroin because of how depressed she was over Jimmy passing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was only 3 weeks after him.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's sad. Anyway. And then Morrison, 6 months. Yeah, no, I love music too. Like, I get so, like, you know.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'll say one thing too before, like, that with my, I had an older brother. He passed from esophagus cancer. First concert I went with him was Guar.
Okay.
And when I was doing the movie, I was trying to raise money. And I actually got a producer credit because raised money and I got a lot of these cameos in it. And my brother gave $500, and then I used that $500 to get Guar. And then I took a picture of me with Odorous, and I had like a little thing saying, "You helped make this happen, Merry Christmas." And I framed it and I gave it to my brother, you know? And it was like such a cool full circle moment.
Right. You know? So cool that your brother, that is very cool.
Yeah.
So the scum, not scum and villainy.
Scum dogs of the universe. Oh, here's a little thing I noticed too. I didn't realize until I looked this up. Guar was nominated for a Grammy for their Phallus in Wonderland music video, which was long form music video. So that was their peak, early 90s. Phallus in Wonderland, Grammy nom.
Grammy, but they're still out there. But the thing is, so
yeah, it's not the originals.
But it's not the originals, but they are they still based out of Richmond?
Probably.
Don't know. Probably.
Yeah,
any original members still in the band? Do you know who the other members of the band were?
what I read, no. After Brocky died, after Dave, he was the last original. And so, but they had so many different, like, I didn't even realize, like the woman, I'd always say the first boobs I saw was Guar Woman, but I didn't realize Guar Woman was only 2 years in the 80s. And then she became a new woman, came Sylmestra Hyman, but you don't know, they're all wearing this makeup and they look the same. I don't know.
Right, right. They're wearing giant foam heads and walking around and with silver fake paint swords. And
their skin's kind of weird. I don't know what's happening.
Right, right, right. So it could have been anybody. And, but so the best, so you, the Scum album is the best album. And so how many good songs are on that album? You've talked about two, but what is Phallus and
Well,
Mother?
You know what? I honestly, I'm not a big enough music guy on all their albums. Like I know some, they have another one called Gorgor. Gorgor is about a dinosaur. That's not on that album. I think that's America Must Be Destroyed, but Gorgor was a big dinosaur. They did a Live from Antarctica album, one of their two live albums. Obviously, they were in Antarctica, but...
They were not in Antarctica.
No, there's some kind
of
planet.
They didn't care. Yeah.
They're just in a bizarre world. So that's the fun of it. Well, you know, especially when you're in your teens, like you're into it. But then once you get a little older, you start getting into other stuff too, right?
Sure. You're just like, I love this. So you still have, but do you still own a couple of those early album? And
oh yeah, Scum Dogs for sure. Yeah. There's another song on there, Sexecutioner. It was like Sexecutioner, la 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 la, and everybody in the crowd singing that. Like it's some good catchy stuff. I'm not kidding. And and you got to look at the clips of Beavis and Butthead, because when Beavis and Butthead see him, they go crazy. They're like, it's Guar! Guar! Like, it's just, it's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. It sounds like a good time.
Yeah. And the music's, you know, it's whatever.
Right. Well, the music, I mean, the thing is if you go, if you like going to concerts, and I just had Jimmy Pardo on about how much he loves going to concerts. That's his big thing. Mm-hmm. And they sound... I'm not a huge concert goer just because they get loud.
Yeah, and, it's very loud now too.
And and this, the Guar thing, that sounds so loud. I don't think I but I like the idea of them having this much fun.
Right.
Are they, so do you know who the current members are? Did you look that up?
I did, but I didn't recognize any of them. I don't, because what they do is they form new characters too.
Okay.
So one of the guys, the Cannibal Corpse, was in it for a minute.
Cannibal Corpse. What's that? What is that?
You don't know Cannibal Corpse? They were the ones.
I do not.
Well, here's the little thing about Cannibal Corpse. They were in the very first Ace Ventura movie when he's walking through and he's moshing through a group, and it's Cannibal Corpse. And they're the ones who really were like, like you could barely, that's them. So,
okay.
But anyway, you're right. Like, yeah, so.
Okay, so one of the guys that is in Guar now was in Cannibal Corpse?
No, the one guy, he was in Cannibal Corpse, and then he helped on a few tours, but I don't even know if he's still in. Like, I don't know. They're always switching things out. And here's the thing. There's like seven or eight of them at one time on the stage.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
What are the instruments? Are they just a pile of guitars?
There's two guitars, a singer, a bass, the drums, there's keyboards, there's fucking people dancing around. They call them the slaves. They're the they capture human slaves because they're aliens.
Right, because they're aliens.
Yeah, they don't base on skin color; they're based on species.
Right, right. Well, there's a theory out there that if the aliens actually come, we got two choices here. And this is an Andy Ashcraft. I don't know if it's his or if you read about it somewhere, but it was that we're either going to be enslaved for work, or we're going to be food.
Yes.
Or best case scenario, we become pets.
Oh.
He's like, if we become pets, then our lives are sweet.
Yeah.
Right? You just gotta go, into the kennel, but you gotta, you know, it's
someone could clean up after I crap.
Exactly, right?
Can I show you some pictures now?
Yes, now show me some pictures. I'm ready.
Okay, I'm really stoked. Oh, let me see how.
I think we're about 40 minutes in. That's the other thing about Zoom. I can never tell how long this is. We might go short, you guys.
What's a normal time?
It's usually an hour. We usually do an hour.
Okay, well, we got some stories to tell right here.
Yeah, that's it.
There's some good. This is some good stuff. All right. So here's us after taking a picture with Odorous.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's his costume. You know, it's like a devil demon.
So there's you.
Yeah, that's me in the middle. That's the film producer, director.
Okay, and there's Odorous.
That's Odorous.
What? Is that just a pullover mask? Or is he sitting in makeup?
No, that's a mask. That's a rubber mask. God. He looks like an orc.
He looks a little bit like a spiky orc.
Yeah, before the orc movies. This was ahead of its time.
Right. Well, he's got a hairy bib on. And things are happening. What year is this? 93?
No, that was 08.
Oh, that was 08.
That's when we filmed them. Here, I would just open up this folder so then you can see it all. I hate doing this stuff. Okay, but here's your friend Maria on the set with the barbershop.
This is the barbershop, the heavy metal barbershop quartet that you'd had a show at Sketchfest about. And what was the name of that show?
It was the early Sketchfest. So it was like, this was the, we were the, I don't know, like the beginner name of the band? One. Oh, the band was Lucifer's Crew Cut.
Oh, Lucifer's Crew Cut. Okay. And it's 2008. And I don't even know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Which one are you?
Oh, that's me way on the far end.
Okay, so that's not...
And my hair is all wetted down with the part.
That's it. Right. That is... See, I have that face thing where I can't... Like, you're right in front of me, and I got nothing.
Well, and then me and my buddy kind of look similar, too.
Right, so... But you're far left. Looking at this thing. Okay, so you're pretty tall. And maybe we use... I don't know. This isn't a guar, but this is a great photo.
Okay, here's me standing next to Odorous. You see his cuttlefish right there in the middle?
It looks like a hockey. In the middle. What's the white thing that looks like a hockey?
That's a sword. See, those are swords that he pulls out and he fights. Okay. And there's also spikes on his shoulder pads. But right in the front,
The penis would be more cartoonishly large. That I know that guy.
What? I mean, that's pretty. I mean, I'm standing far back.
That's a good 18-inch.
Right, this is my last pick of. This is me and Matt after the show. This one's a little blurry, but it's an old pick.
Oh my god!
You see the
your
cover.
Shirts are white.
Yeah, well, mine is. His is a light gray, but you can see how mine was white, and our face is still. Yeah, look how blue his face is.
Right. That's crazy. All right.
So that's Guar. There's the backstage. We got a little. Yeah,
you got
a
backstage
was a good time.
Pass. That's amazing.
It was whatever. It's funny. I saw a thing today. I was looking at their their rider or whatever. I took a picture of it, I guess, when I was backstage. And it said, no lunch, no dinner break, no food. And I'm like, oh, man, dude, that's tough.
What? Wow, that's very metal. That's super metal.
Yeah, and
no lunch break. We're gonna play a half an hour as a different band, and then we're gonna come out as Guar, and we're gonna play. Did they do like a half an hour to open for themselves, and then an hour as themselves? What did they do?
Yeah, basically, maybe an hour, hour and a half they would do.
Okay,
but but it would be about like 30 minutes of them opening, and then they'd have to go, and there'd still be a lull while they're breaking. You know, they're adding the sets and shit. And then, boom, then they would come in and...
But, the turnover is amazing. It's such a great idea.
But with all the stuff they're adding, it's probably the same now. That's probably why they had to do it, because they had to get all their stuff in. And they would have giant sets and everything. And then, people would get on stage, and then you get fed to the monster, almost like Little Shop of Horrors. And you'd go inside of it, and then they... disappear, these people, and then you could come back in the crowd 20 minutes later or whatever.
They would have people come up on stage, and you could get fed into the monster.
Yes
They studied set design in college. What was their
A couple of the guys who were in the band
were theater nerds,
and they made the props for the other guy's punk band, so that's how they met. And then they were like, oh, let's do this. And it was funny because it was a joke band. And then the joke band was the more famous thing.
Right, right. As opposed to the punk band that they were like, right. We're serious, man. Do you have one of their albums? What was the name of it? Piggy something?
Oh, Death Piggy? No. I don't even know if he recorded anything. Right. A lot of that, like, old school punk stuff. I have one. This is kind of a funny. I mean, this is a crazy skinhead story, but it is a punk band at sea. Because Cleveland, we'd be in the punk a lot. There was this band called Nashville Pussy. I don't know if you heard of. And they're...
Absolutely not. There you go.
Yes, yeah, they're a good one. My favorite songs of them is called Go Motherfucker Go. So I can see maybe they didn't have much radio play.
No. It's hard to sell a boost while you're
So they were like a Southern Billy punk band, all right? They're really fun. But again, you'd go to these shows in Cleveland, and Cleveland's whatever. Sometimes there'd be these skinheads. And they also had these two women. One would play guitar. The singer was like, he looked straight out of like Round in Moonshine, okay? With the beard, the long hair, the cowboy.
What, Moonshine?
Like he was running Moonshine.
Like an actual Moonshine runner.
What he looked like. Real Southern Georgia fella. And then there was this like 6-foot blonde woman with huge combat boots. Okay. And she played bass.
Okay. Yeah.
So, cool. and a guy drummer. So I'm sitting there right up front watching them. Right. And this is a Cleveland. It's awesome. And I got these two skinheads watching with me, a tall one and a little one. And this little one starts spitting water on the tall bass player. Right. So he's drinking water and then he's spitting it on her. Okay.
Wow.
Just
danger. Yeah, yeah. Danger. Right.
And I'll never forget this. She's playing her bass, and then she calmly takes one of her combat boots and kicks him in the teeth.
Oh, good.
And then blood instantly falls. And then she taps the singer, who's like a total redneck, and she points at him, and he goes like this to start throw like the mic stand. And I'm next to him. I'm like, it was him. It was him.
Right. Yeah.
And they go after him and then he ends up running and they throw him out of the show. But it was just like, you're always around that. But to see some of them, like how they would handle it, it was beautiful. It was beautiful
because misogyny sometimes needs a boot to the face.
Exactly.
There you go. All right. That's so gross that those guys are there. You're like, we're just trying to have fun. We're just trying to do some heavy metal punk rock. Leave us alone. What was the name of the punk rock band?
That was called Nashville Pussy. they're a great band.
Are they still around?
I don't know if Nashville's still around. That's a good question. They might not be playing anymore.
They might not. It has been 25 years.
Cleveland, so. There was a local band called Mushroom Head, and they were popular opening for Gwar a lot. Their thing was they'd wear like camo, but it was like the white snow camo.
Oh, right. Like winter camo.
Yeah, exactly. Winter camo. So they were in, and for the Dork Forest, they were in Hoth style camo.
Right. There's also sand camo. Right?
Yes.
There's sand camo. There's when you're going to go hang out with the Ewoks camo.
Yeah, Endor camo.
Yeah, exactly. Endor. Yeah. As opposed to Andor, it's Endor.
Yeah, Endor.
So, why are the names so alike? Anyway, weird. Okay, so.
Any other Gwar questions you might have, Jackie?
There's always the why, but there's no reason, to go into it. Let's tell people, though, that, let's see. Let me just write down where I might be in the thing. And say that I am talking with Sal Kalani, and Sal, SalCalanni is his Perfect. Instagram. It'll be in the notes. January 29th, new special coming out called Mental Spillness.
There you go. And, that's it.
And it's going to be on the YouTubes.
Yes.
And then we're going to maybe, we'll show me a copy of that. Maybe I should.
Oh yeah, I will. I will be releasing a song with it. That my old band.
That's right. You had a band.
Hacks. I was in a band with All Comics in San Francisco. You might know Kevin Kamiya played bass.
Okay.
I was on guitar, Matt Morales guitar, and a drummer, Max Curry. Well, we recorded an album together. We were nothing funny, like it was serious. I mean, but the lyrics sometimes, like my song that I'm releasing is called Liquor Store. It's about being so broke, you want to rob a liquor store, but then you got to get a Snickers bar because you like them so much while you're there. But
right. And that's like how you get caught. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, I will be releasing a song with the credits. The special will be dropping, shot in 4K, went through the whole thing, the editing. I hired someone to edit, but you know, you're watching. I got sick of watching it after a while. I had to take breaks. And now I'm pretty stoked. I'm getting the clips all ready. Hey, I had a question for you, Jackie. I heard this the other day, a comic. Like, if you knew all that you had to get into with social media and the video stuff, would we have gotten into stand-up 20 years ago?
Well, and it was 40 years ago for me. And I would not have. The thing is one of the greatest things. And you still don't have to. I mean, if you look at it, Janine Garofalo isn't online.
Right. The best hire people to do it or
Stuart,
do it at
Stuart
all.
Lee isn't online. Yeah. He's a UK guy who's amazing. And okay. And then there are that mid-level, like above me, where they make enough money that they can spend $1,500 a month to hire somebody to do it right. And the rest of us are just kind of grinding it out, you know?
Yeah.
You're just like, I don't know, maybe 11,000 people will care. But the thing is it's weird to still be sort of like, it's part of the dues you have to pay to do stand-up comedy. Right. Cause you're like, I want to do stand-up. You're like, oh, well then you're also going to be in charge of editing and booking yourself and doing this and doing that. And you're like, okay, how do I do that? And then you got to hang out with people who know how to do it.
Right.
And then you sort of trade what you're good at with what somebody else is good at. So
And you learn on the go. And it's like, I felt like, and almost like I have to do it. Like I got to record something and then I'll figure the rest out, you know, like.
Figure the rest out.
Yeah. And so that's, it's kind of called that too, mental spills. Cause I'm going through like my father passed, my brother passed, breakups. Right. So you go through all that stuff and but you're right. I need the art. I'm going to dive into it. And then I'm not going to think about.
And if you can make it funny,
it
genuinely helps everybody else who have fathers, who have brothers.
Yeah.
Who have breakups. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I mean, I won't give away the joke or anything, but I do something about, the breakup and stuff and real shit. And this woman came up afterwards. She's like, oh, that really happened. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, she was so touched. She's like, you know, I had a miscarriage this week and where I just needed to laugh and get out. And to see you be vulnerable it was so amazing to me. And I was like, so touched. Cause like, I never did the joke again. Cause it hurts too much for me to even do the joke, but impact.
You got
to
record it. Yeah,
right.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's a bit on my 2016 album about my grandmother's genocide, the genocide with the Armenians of the Turks.
Oh, okay.
And I did that joke, and every time I did it, it was so emotionally draining that I was like, it was funny, but it was also super emotional. And I have never done it since.
Right. Okay.
I was And what people should know is that one out of every five pregnancies ends in miscarriage. So I've had a miscarriage. It's very common. And it is not being treated as a medical emergency. They think it's some sort of weird abortion. And you're like, hey, I don't like you. Anyway, stop doing that. So anyway, so if people wanted to listen to Guar, you would just tell them to go get the scum.
Scum Dogs, check out their
that Phallus video.
Yeah, the Phallus, because you know Phallus in Wonderland, that's a Grammy nom. They must know something, right?
right. They must have got something out of it. What year was Phallus in Wonderland? What do you think that was?
I think that one was 93. I think
that's
Scum
early.
Dogs might have been 91. Like the early 90s was the peak, and that's when I was really into them and introduced to them, and that was a good time to be in the Guar.
Yeah. You know, and I bet you if you're into if like you like Guar, like new Guar, I'm sure honestly Steve Mandel is a listener. He's gonna email me and go, no, new Guar is good Guar.
New Guar. That's funny. New Guar is a funny
new Guar.
We used to have this in Cleveland, there was this country station called WGAR. And they would go take the big bumper stickers and rip them up and write Guar and put them all over the school and shit.
Yes.
Yes. You're not wrong. Okay. Well, Sal, I think we've covered it. I think we've done the job.
Oh, one more thing. I'm wearing a Viking. That was my alma mater, the Cleveland State Vikings. And Brock, Brocky, who died, Dave Brocky of the singer Odorous, they gave him a Viking funeral. His costume was laid in a little pyre, and they lit it up Viking style, I think, out on a boat.
Wow. That is your college or your...
This is my alma mater, but that's just Virginia did that for him.
Richmond, Virginia did that for him.
Yeah. But he's a Viking.
Right. He's a Viking. He's off from another Valhalla. Planet.
Yes.
He's in Valhalla. And ladies and gentlemen, you guys are great. Rangers, this was super dorky, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So
find Sal Kalami
and follow him, and look forward to the new special.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?